So the title of my message is different today. It's called Sometimes God Has to Remove the Shingles. And there's a story that I'm going to relay as well that happened to us. But there was a man in the Bible. You look in the book of Mark, Luke, he's in all the Gospels. And this man was paralyzed for years from birth. And Jesus was in the temple. And you know, sometimes people can't get to Jesus because he's inside of a religious place. They couldn't get to Jesus to get to his feet because the church wasn't letting him get to the feet of Jesus. So friends of his went to the top of the church and peeled off, I'll say shingles, peeled off part of the thatch roof, whatever was there, so that they could lower him to the feet of Jesus. Don't you want to be one of those friends? I mean, religion and churches and buildings have kept our people out for a very long time. But Jesus has never, ever kept you out. And sometimes it takes people to see that we need to remove a shingle or two and lower them at the feet of Jesus. But what the devil wants us to do is to get so focused on us that we forget about the people that can't come into the church. Now, we all know, most of us, how many new people? We have a lot of new people. How many new people are here today? Would you raise your hand for a second? Welcome. We're very excited. Woo! We welcome you. And how many of you were a little nervous before you came? How many of you who are not the first time here were a little nervous when you came the first time? So it's a church can be a scary place because a lot of churches have, one, hurt us. Two, you don't know anybody there sometimes, and that's a scary thing to do. So I want you to know, one, you're in a safe place, and two, Jesus is here, so that makes it okay. So removing the shingles in our life enable us to, one, get to the top of things. You can't remove the shingles when you're on the ground floor. You have to go up to get to the top to remove the shingles. So that means for us, we have to be looking to God and be in connection with him in order to remove the shingles. If we try to do it in our own strength, it's not going to happen. But if we do it with God, it's going to happen. So we've been talking a little bit about our church. This church started in a home called Home of Ours in Stockbridge, Georgia. So I think it was 2003, if I remember correctly. I'm really horrible with dates. You know my 50th anniversary, my 50th birthday, right? We went to Greece, Ed and I, until I got to the, we took a cruise, a Greek cruise. That's a great 50. I'm like, for my 50th? Like, we're planning his 50th. He wants to do Venice, Italy. So for his 50th, he wants a group, though, to go. I just wanted Ed and I, but he wants a whole group to go. But for my 50th, I said, I want to go to Greece. That's my dream. I want to go to Greece. So we get to Greece. I'm so excited. I get to the cruise ship, and they have my passport. And he's like, oh, you have a birthday. I'm like, yeah, I'm here for my birthday. And he goes, oh, you're 49. I'm like, wait, what? I missed it by a year. I seriously missed it by a year. Ed still to this day thinks I planned it so that I would have two great trips, 49 and 50. And perhaps God was just looking out for me because that did happen. But numbers are not always my forte, but I can tell you the gist of things. And the gist of things were, we had a house in Stockbridge, Georgia. We had a group of people who had no place to go. And the two matched. There's a group of people who have no place to go. We just have to match them up. So we were in Stockbridge, and it was my birthday again. God seems to, I'm not a really birthday person. You know how a lot of people have to celebrate the birthday? I really am not. Seems like I am, but I'm really not, honestly. I actually forget sometimes, but it was my birthday, and it was going to be, and I was going to go to dinner. This was my 40th, I guess, because it was a long time ago. But we were going to go to dinner, so he was going to take me out to dinner to a nice restaurant for my birthday. I said, okay, that's great. So I get all dressed up, and I go downstairs, and like, I'm ready. He's like, well, I'm watching something on TV, just a minute. I'm like, okay. Whose birthday is this? So I'm like, okay, watching on TV. And I look at what he's watching, and get this, it's NASCAR. Now, I know my husband. We were together for 19 years. I know him pretty well. He knows nothing about NASCAR. And I like, what? He goes, I've been wanting to see this. Now, I know that I'm a pastor. I know that I'm a Christian. But I was a little bit upset. over that. And I said, really? NASCAR? And I'm like, can you tell me anything about this? He said, I really want to see this. Not the right thing to say to me at that time, right? So I kind of went upstairs and slammed the door. Not that I've ever done it before. Like, okay, fine. So a few minutes later, I hear ding dong, doorbell. Now, nobody ever came to visit us in Stockbridge. So he's like, you need to get that. I'm watching NASCAR. I'm like, okay, I'll get it. And I'm like, hi. You know how it is when they open the door. Hello. So when they open the door, it's all of our friends who had no place to go, and they had pizza boxes. He had a surprise birthday for me at our house. So I thought he was just not doing anything watching NASCAR, but he was waiting for them. They were late to get there. So he was trying to find something to stall me from going. So they said, we're here. And I said, what do you want on your birthday? I said, I just want to worship with my friends. And so we had the piano, and we just started singing worship songs. And we were there for hours. And that's how this church started. Just a group of friends together who were kicked out of other churches or not welcome to other churches, who just got together and worshiped God. And it was the most beautiful thing. And so every week we planned our Saturday. We had a birthday for, no, I'm sorry. Every week we had our church service on a Saturday. We would just meet at our house and we would just worship there. Well, if you've ever been to Stockbridge, it's not the closest place to some people. Although it's a great city and we have a house there still. But so that house is where the church started. Let me back up a little bit. So before that church started, we were at a conference, and I'm going to use the word prophetic. It just basically means God speaks to people and through people, right? So we had gone down there. Our friends were moving to Stockbridge. Ed and I lived in the Ormond Park, East Atlanta area. We had a cute little house. We call it our little bungalow. You could fit two people in the living room, and you could fit a third if they were in the kitchen, and you could talk to them that way. So, but we were happy with that little house. It was cute. It was exactly what God provided, and we were happy there. Our friends moved down to Stockbridge. I'm like, two of our best friends, like, really? And so we go down there, and while we're down there, the Lord really speaks to our heart that we're supposed to move there and build a house. So we wanted to be their next-door neighbors. That could be bad, but it turned out it didn't happen anyway. But we wanted to be their next-door neighbors, so we went and we put a contract on a house, right? It was a new build, and we had exactly the house that we could pick. It sounds perfect. Our best friends are there. We'd be next-door neighbors in Stockbridge, Georgia, but still, we're there. And all of a sudden, the house that we wanted, they came to us and said, we know you put a contract on the house and you ordered this elevation. However, the lot will not fit for what you want, the elevation. So you have to choose something else. And that's the house we wanted. So we went back and forth and finally we said, okay, I don't know if we're supposed to do this. So we went next door to another subdivision. They had nothing even built. It was just the lots. We met the agent there. Her name is Allie, who's really a good friend of ours as well. I was just praying for her last week. We've been talking. She's in California. This is a long time ago. And so we met Allie, and she was from California, so she was comfortable with us. So we felt okay about that. But we picked out a lot, and I said, okay, we have to decide whether to buy this house that's already being built or build a house on a lot. Now, have you been in that situation? Ed and I were talking about that today, about asking for wisdom from God of what to do in a situation. Have you ever been there? A key for me is to close doors. Lord, close the doors that you don't want me to open, because I have a habit of opening both. You're like me. I want to look in a closet and say, oh, this one's good. Oh, maybe this one's better. And I'm like, no. Lord, close the doors that just need to be closed so that you can lead and guide me. I may want this closet over here, but if that door's closed, I might tug a little bit, or maybe I'll tug a lot, but I'll get the key that, okay, I'm not supposed to do this, right? You know what I'm talking about. Some of you have been there when you've actually forced that door to open, and you finally get it open, and then you're like, oh, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. So maybe it's just me, but maybe some of you have been there. So, all right, I'll continue. I get sidetracked. So we go to this conference, and these people are up there, and they said, they know us, so they said, and they usually call one person at a time. They said, Keith and Ed, can you come up here? We have a word for you. So we had just told our best friends, Kevin and James. We said, and Kevin's a big Baptist boy. We told him, we really need direction whether to build a house or to buy the house. And I really need God to speak to me. And I said, so we've been really praying for a clear word from God. We go to this conference, and they call us up there. Her name, June was her name. And she calls us up, and she said, do you guys own a house? And I said, we do. She goes, well, this is confusing to me then. But I have to tell you what the Lord's told me. He says you need to build a house. Now, we were driving from Stockbridge to go to this conference. We had just left with Kevin and James. And behind me, I heard Kevin say, oh, my God. As he heard that, she goes, I think you're supposed to build a house. And God's going to use this house for his glory. Pray over the foundation. Pray over every step. He's going to use it for his glory. So we knew God was going to use that house for a reason. So that house has been prayed for from the very beginning, from the foundation. And so that's where our church was started. Isn't that great that God started the church there? Then we moved the church to Midtown. Well, not to Midtown. We moved the church. We're going to Midtown. We moved the church to Chester Bridge. Chester Bridge. That's where Steve, I think that was the first time you came. That was a long time ago. And we just had worship. We met on Sunday nights, and we would just worship all the time. We just had worship. And then we got to the point to where we would officially call ourselves a church. That was a hard stretch for us because church had hurt us. And so worshiping with friends was different than church. Do you understand the difference if you're coming to somebody? However, it became church because God redefined what church meant to a lot of us. It wasn't a building. It wasn't a group. It wasn't a group of people following strict rules. It was a family. And we were really the body of Christ. And we got together. We had communion. And we broke bread. We talked the word. We had Bible study. We had wonderful conferences. I mean, I look over the years, and God has done some amazing things in that church and through this church. I still to this day hear people calling us and telling us, thank you for what you did for us. So seeds have been planted all along this journey from our church. So we have this house in Stockbridge. And after the church got okay, I said, we need to move closer to the church. We're too far. So we put the house up on the market. It's a beautiful house. I mean, we're realtors. We know pretty houses. This is a beautiful house. And it's got beautiful hardwood. It's amazing. We put it on the market. It'll sell like that. And after about 6 months, we're like, well, something's not working. And I'm like, Lord, what is the deal? And as clear as day, he said, just wait. I'm like, okay, now I can wait a little without a problem. But 6 months is quite a bit. And then when you add 3 months more, I'm at a baby now, honey. That's 9 months. And I'm ready. I'm like, God, I have to know what's going on. And about that time, we're in church, and I'm talking to Jenny and Gina about this. And Gina says, can I ask you something? And, you know, Gina, and we really didn't know them that well. They had just started coming. She goes, would you be willing to rent that home to us? Now, I have always heard you never, ever deal with relationships or friendships in business. I've heard that, right? I've broken it so many times. And I heard the Lord say yes and give them this amount for rent. Charge them this amount. I said, yeah, I would be. And I said, even though I've always been taught it's really not smart, I will. And the Lord told me to charge you this amount for rent. And Jenny was there, and Jenny bust out crying because that was the rent of her apartment, exactly what she was paying for her apartment. She goes, that's exactly what we pay right now for a two-bedroom apartment, and this is a five-bedroom house. And so they lived there for several years, and it was blessed to even had a home group for our church there. And it was just God. So when God does things, he knows what he's doing. And so Josh was able to go to a great school, a good school district, and it was a great thing for them. And they were able to get on their feet and get their credit taken care of so that they could, in turn, buy their own house. So in September of last year, they left that Stockbridge house and moved to Grayson, Georgia, with their own house. Grayson, Georgia. I love that. So here we are again in the same situation. Well, it's a great house. The market's hot. It's going to sell like that. We really do know real estate better than this. So we put it on the market, and it does go into contract. Not one, but twice. But the first one fell through. And then the second one looked great. As a matter of fact, the agent gave us almost asking price and loved the house. I mean, the seller. As a matter of fact, he was actually very excited about the house. And all of a sudden, there's hardly any kind of a storm, not like what we had this past weekend. It's just a rainstorm. Now, we've had a dish, I don't know if you know this, a dish satellite on top of that roof for 19 years, right, when we first got there. Somehow, during the night, the wind tore that dish off and tore shingles, here's the shingles, off of the roof. So that must have been a Saturday night. So after church, I told Ed, I said, I really feel like we need to go check on the Stockbridge house. I don't know what, I just feel like we're supposed to go down there. So we go down there, and everything looks fine. And I'm walking until I look out, and I see this dish. I'm dangling on the side of the house in the backyard. And we have these huge windows, and I was so afraid that it was going to bust those windows, which it didn't, and that is a miracle in itself. So, and I had met this handyman earlier, and his wife, and they had come over, and when she first walked in, she goes, oh, I love your house. It's so beautiful. I said, oh, thank you. And so so I met her name was Aaron, and his name was Anthony, and they fixed a lot of things for me. And if you need a good handyman, please come see me because he's really, really good. And they're Christians, and I knew that from the beginning. And so she asked me the question, right? Are you married? I'm like, okay, one, he's a redneck handyman. Two, she's from Alabama. This is going to be really interesting. No offense to Alabama people. So I said, I am. And she said, okay. And so she didn't ask me anything else. I said, well, I don't need to volunteer anything else at this point. I didn't lie. I'm married. I want to get this done. So the next time we go down there, they fixed the roof and everything. But Ed was with them when they came and fixed the roof and all of that. So they met Ed. So, you know, and I don't know how much Ed shared. I don't know if you, did you tell him anything at that time? No. So they just know we both are real estate partners, so we talked about that. So they fixed the roof, but he didn't put the shingles in. He couldn't find shingles to match the right color because it was an emergency. I mean, they came out on a Sunday night to fix those shingles for us, right? Because I was so afraid it was going to rain and all of that. And so I'm like, beggars can't be choosers. Thank you so much for doing that. So and he said, you know, man, I'm sorry. He couldn't even have a ladder. He had to go rent a ladder to do this because it was so tall. And so while they're outside doing this, she asked me, she goes, so are you and Ed, like, together? And I'm like, yeah. And she says, oh, that is so cool. My grandfather's gay. I'm like, oh, really? She goes, yeah. She says, you know, and the sad thing is, she goes, we're from Alabama. And she said, I said, yeah, I kind of knew. He stayed married to his wife for years, even though they both knew he was gay because the church would have kicked him out and no one would have had anything to do with them. I said, well, let me tell you my story. So I told her about being ordained in the ministry and about that I used to be a youth pastor and an associate pastor and all this and went to seminary. And they did all that, went through the Exodus, the ex-gay, tried to pray the gay away, went through all this. And I told her all that story. And her, she's like, wow. So by that time, they had finished the outside of the roof, but we still had those little squares that were not matching. Don't you know the inspector came the next morning? Yeah. Now, I thought I'd have a few days to get a roofer out there to match it perfectly, right? God did not let that happen. So the inspector came out. So I guess when they saw that, the buyer said, no thanks. There's the roof damage. So I'm like, well, Lord, we're in the same situation again. I don't know what you're doing, but I learned from the last time, and here's the key, that when you do things, you do it in your time and you do it the right way. So instead of stressing about this, instead of trying to make things happen, I'm just going to give it to you. So I called Anthony. I said, by the way, I said, there's a few other things that I'd like you to do in the house. No rush, because the contract just fell through. He said, and they call me Mr., which is really weird. He said, Mr. Keith, would you consider renting this house to us? And I'm like, okay. And so I said, let me talk to Ed. And so we talked about it and prayed about it, and we both felt like this was why the house was being held. So they moved in the house on Saturday, or actually Friday, into that house. We charged them a lot less than we could get for the house, and you know what? The Lord has just said, this was where the church started. And so the church is still continuing to give to people's lives, even through that house. And that's what the church is about. It's about a group of people who come together, who are all broken, but know who can put them together. And his name is Jesus. And he can, if he has to remove shingles to keep us on track, he'll do that. Because he knows what he's doing. So here we are in this church. We've been in this building for 5 years. It's a great building. Isn't it a great building? Some of you might say, not really. Well, let me know where we came from. It's really great. Steve knows. We came from really, really, but we have any money. So we had these tiny, tiny office buildings. We had rolling chairs. They even moved because they were donated. You know, some office complex says, we're getting rid of these chairs. We said, we'll take them. And so, but we built a family with those chairs. And we built a family in those places. And so now our lease came up this year. And they wanted to charge us an awful lot of money to stay here. And they told us no option, 2 or 3 year lease with a pretty hefty increase. So I'm like, okay, we have a choice. We can bring in the Holy Spirit and then Christina. The Holy Spirit and Christina, because she's a certified financial planner and she knows how to negotiate really well and all that. So we brought our board and we talked about it. So James, Christine, and I had a conference call with them, and our goal was a 6-month lease. That's what we wanted from them. They told us initially, not going to happen, not even a year. So long story short is, during the duration of the conversation, she out front asked for a 6-month lease. We'd like a 6-month lease. He's like, would you be okay with a year? Like, and we're both like, well, we really want a 6-month lease. And so he said, I may be able, and this is the key, I may be able to talk them into a year. I'm like, okay. So the 2 and the 3 year was kind of pushed to the side. See what we're saying? God knows what he's doing. God did all this stuff. So we have probably a 6-month option or a year option. And so long story short, after going back and forth and the board praying, it looks like we are going to Monday sign a 6-month lease on our place here, which will give us enough time to plan. Correct? To plan where we're going to go. The note on this church is a lot for us, and it's felt like a noose around our neck for a long time. Well, I just feel like that noose is going to be cut, and the money that comes in will be able to invest more into people and relationships instead of a building, because we're not going to go and sign a lease on a building again like we've done in the past. It worked for a while. We needed the building when we did. But now I believe God is calling us to other places. We have several venues that look really, really good. And our plan is, over the next 6 months, maybe once a month, to go to one of those venues and use it to see how it's going to work for us. That's planning, right? That's smart. Okay, Jesse likes that. He likes that. So that's kind of good. So I'm going to tell you, there is one that we all feel really good about. But we feel really good about it, and they feel really good about us. As a matter of fact, the person who runs it went to our website. He said, I love this. I love what you guys are doing. He goes, "You guys, it looks like you guys have been here for a long time," which, one, his board will like. We have a great record. We have never missed a payment, everything like that. So he says, it looks like you guys have been a long time. We like that. He goes, and I like the fact that you're gay because we're all gay. I'm like, cool. And he says, and we've been praying for somebody like you guys to rent our space. Now, did I tell you he came to me? So you talk about Cornelius. I was going to actually use Acts chapter 10 today about Cornelius when Deb was talking about Cornelius. God spoke to him to contact me. He said, somebody told me you guys have been looking for a building. Would you consider us? It's a theater. We have 2 theaters in the running. Would you consider us? I know we like theater. We like drama, honey. But like he said, but we like to keep it on the stage. I'm like, I love that. I'm going to keep that there. Where it needs to be. The fact that we have networked and gotten contact with so many LGBT groups through this process has been a blessing in itself. We now have a connection with the Latin American Association because that's one of the areas we're looking at over there. And so for me, I feel different because I feel one of my gifts is actually with new people and new things. And sometimes I might leave people behind because that's my vision. And so I need people coming behind me to help me with that. But don't stop me from doing that, because that's really where my heart is. And making these connections for us has been paramount. It hurt when he said, we had no idea you were even here. It hurt me when the gay and lesbian center said, we had no idea you guys were here. So my thought is, for our church conference, why not try the venue of the Gay and Lesbian Center for our church conference when we bring Deanna down? How about that idea? So I need your help, because I'm going to tell you, right now we're in a comfortable place. Everything is done for us. You walk in here at, 10:45. Everything's already set up. If we go to a new venue, we're not going to have that luxury, because it's not our building. We're going to have to tear down and set up. It's not going to be fun, but I need to know that you guys are in with us for that, because we can't depend on James to do everything. He's done everything right now, running in here, and he can't tear down and set up every week. So we'll have committees, we'll form that, but I just know God is in this. And we were all unanimous in our decision. Are you excited? I really am so excited, because we're connecting with people outside of these walls. We've been talking for the year about getting outside of these walls. God forced us to because of a lease. He had to remove some of the shingles in our life. So we're excited. I know that the board is excited. We're not leaving. As a matter of fact, I think God's going to grow us in a different way. There are so many people we'll meet in Midtown as opposed to in Chamblee on an access road that changes names on your GPS, right? She came this morning. She says, it wasn't even the same name as the GPS, our access road. It called it Frontage Road. I'm like, nope, it's Northeast Expressway. I know. And for me, when I go home or I try to leave, it always tells me to take a right. Does it do you? Right through that apartment complex right now. I'm like, there's an apartment complex here. There's not even a road. So we've had so many people not be able to find us. They'll be able to find these places, which is really good as well. You're excited about it? I'm excited about it too. So we just want to give God the glory. And I want to thank the board and Christina and James and Deb, Pastor Jonathan, Robert, because of the hard work that they're doing. They're even meeting tonight on a conference call to go over some things. They've worked very hard for you guys. And so I really am so grateful for everything that they do. But I know it's going to be really good. The person who is the director of this theater, I'm meeting with him in a couple of weeks, but we've been talking pretty much every day. And so he called me. He said, oh, my God, you guys do weddings. I'm like, yes. He goes, we do weddings here all the time for a venue. He said, you could use it for your weddings. And it's like, we could even use you guys to maybe officiate same-sex weddings. Like, we're there for that. You see the synergies that are taking place from this? So I know God is really leading us in a good direction. Opposite weddings too. We believe straight people can be saved as well, so it's okay. And straight people can get married. We're affirming church. We affirm everyone. So if you're straight, God still loves you, and you can get married. It's okay, But we want to be a church for everybody. But we know there are churches in every street corner that everyone can go to, and so few that we can go to. So it's so important for us to be in the center of where we need to be. And I know God is leading us. Amen. But I think it's going to be different, because you're going to see people, and that's really what it's going to be about. It's been a different type of service, but it's just a vision service of where we're going. But I want to make sure that we do pray for people. So, Father, we thank you that you meet every need according to your riches and glory, that your hand is greater than anything we could even imagine, and it reaches down and touches us to our depths, to the depths of our soul. It touches us and it reaches us. In turmoil and confusion and fear in every situation, I thank you for your hand that touches and guides and brings healing. Right now, Father, we just lift up our church to you. We lift up decisions. We lift up those who we're going to touch. Even now, begin to prepare their hearts at the places we're going to go. We don't want to just go to places. We want, Lord, to follow you to places. So you enter in before us, into those doors that are open, that you open, and we'll walk right through them. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the worship team, because I believe the music is going to be such a vital part of you using us in these venues. And we thank you for that, Lord, for the connections we're going to make. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. If you need prayer, come up, and then we'll be dismissed. Let's pray for Steve.